It's raw, uncut, unscripted. This is where real conversations are had and truths are told. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
What's happening? What's happening, family? Hey, it's your main man, TJ Chapman, and welcome to the Black Couch Chronicles podcast. I'm your main man, TJ Chapman, and it feels so good to be back on the air, man, because I've been on a whole hiatus for about a good 2.5 years, maybe even longer. It felt like it was a century, but I am back. But it was well worth it because I had to have some self-healing, and we all go through stuff in life. We all have to go through our challenges, and when I say therapy is a real thing, therapy is a real thing. So black men, especially y'all, I mean, you know, Caucasians, y'all are welcome too, but y'all don't have the struggles the way we have them. So we have to be able to make sure that we are doing what we have to do to understand who we are as a culture. Because me having to go on this hiatus, went through a lot of my lifetime, and it allows you to see who's really there for you in a time of need. And, I want y'all to check out the podcast. I know this is, you know, it's my podcast, but I also have to give a big shout out to, you know, my management team, Casanova Williams, Society Entertainment, Jerry Williams. Yes, they are related in their mind, but not in real life. But they share the last name, so that must mean that they are great. But he has his own podcast, you know, Black Men Health, such and such. You know, y'all can tune it out. But not for real though, it's Black Men Mental Health. Tune it in, check it out, because it's very informative, especially made for us by us black men. So without further ado, man, I got my first guest. It's Black History Month. And what better way to have Black History Month than have the first such and such? And this such and such resides right here in Orlando, Florida. She is the first youngest black female commissioner to join me on the Black Couch Chronicles. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, my special guest for this evening is none other than Shan Rose, Commissioner of District 5 right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. Welcome, Commish. What's happening?
Thank you for having me. It's been a while.
Oh, man. Yes, it has been a while. And for some of y'all that have not tuned into the TJ Chapman Show, I've had her, you know, on, you know, the TJ Chapman Show. You know, she's great people, you know, down to earth. And it's like, you know, I can hit her up, you know, hey, Commish. At the time it was, hey, Shan, but I'm gonna still call her Shan. But right now she is the commissioner. So I got to put the respect on it. That's the commissioner. So, what's happening?
Nothing much. Having a good time rolling into being the District 5 city commissioner. And it's interesting to say the least.
She said it's interesting. You know, with everything has to be interesting. Why is it so interesting?
So a couple things. So I used to work for the city of Orlando, and okay.
But you still do though.
No, I said it. It's a transition now.
Ah, okay.
So when I was the young, energetic employee with all these ideas. Mm. Some of them, you know, went places. Some of them sat on the shelf. Some sat in emails. But now it's like I'm the young, energetic commissioner. It just can't sit in an email on the shelf somewhere.
Oh, now you gotta do something about it.
Yep. And so it's a really good transition from the two. I'm able to help the constituents a lot easier. So if you come and you say, I'm trying to open a business, what do I do? Where do I go? I know exactly where to send you. If you say, I'm looking for this kind of service, where can you go? So having those connections, I think being a community advocate and transitioning into a commissioner comes with, I'd say it's good and it's bad. I think sometimes, you know, places to go where people wouldn't, like, I didn't know that. Mm. And so being able to use my platform to help others is why I say it's interesting, because little comments be commenting sometimes.
Ooh, don't talk about them comments, because them comments can do one or two things to you. You're gonna snap off, or you're gonna be like, all right, whatever. They just trolling. You just keep it moving. So how do you handle that though? Like when you seeing somebody trying to roast you online, and you just sitting back, biting your lip,
So, you know, it's funny. One of the transitioning into this role, I read a book, Let Them, by Mel Robbins, and I encourage everybody, men and women, to read the book because it helps you to really control your emotions and know what to and what not to respond to. Sometimes I write whole paragraphs just to get it all off my chest and then I'll delete it. Because even if you correct misinformation, somebody's still going to spin it a totally different way.
Oh, heck yeah. All the time.
So I write these whole long paragraphs and I just like delete. Is this really worth my time? But I got it off my chest. I wrote it down about how I really felt. But then sometimes I just come to the other side. The negative comments help me to produce and show the things that people think that I'm not doing. So I think one of the hardest transitions is when you have programs that you're working on, you can't just talk about everything, right? And so I give an example. Rolling Loud is coming to town.
Ooh.
When I first got elected in 24, like I called the promoter and I said, hey, Orlando should be your next host city. And he was like, what?
Really?
I said, yeah, Orlando should be your next host city. Why are you going back to Miami?
Ah.
And so it's having those conversations. I think for me, being young and energetic, being tapped in and tuned into certain things, I can have those conversations. So it's like when it rolls out, it's just like, oh, we've been talking about this for almost 2 years now. So it's a real thing for you all. Oh, and so seeing the excitement, I think that that's the hardship for me. I think it does allow me to grow as a person when I do see some of the comments, because it's like, okay, maybe I can do that differently. Okay, I didn't know that that was an issue for people. Okay, I'm not going to correct everyone every time.
Okay.
I think one of the things I did make a goal for this year and I got to commit to is having smaller, did you know, segments as the commissioner, so people understand the role of a commissioner,
right,
what we really do, what we can't do. That way I'm not correcting people, but I'm actually educating people.
Wow. That's you brought up a very interesting thing about Rolling Loud, right? That was the first time I ever heard about it.
Really?
When I saw it, yeah. I'm in Orlando. I even though I'm from South Florida, I knew nothing about it. But that probably happened after I graduated back in 97. So that tells y'all my age. But I still look good for my age, y'all. But anyway, so you mentioned it to somebody. Hey, you should bring it here. Mm-hmm. And everything else did what it needed to do because it's coming to Orlando. Talk about that. Like, how were you able to go behind the scenes, bring an event of that magnitude right here in the beautiful city of Orlando?
So I live in the whole space of the culture. And what do we need? What are we missing? Orlando has raised a lot of gems.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, those gems don't stay here. They go other places. They go to other cities. And I struggle with that, right? When we think, I use someone who has become nationally known, Hot Boy. He's from right in District 5, right?
Oh, wow.
But it's those talents and how do we cultivate a space where you can showcase your talents, where we do recognize you? What resources are we missing? And so being tapped into the culture, like I'm a big music junkie. I could tell you about a bunch of, you know, the Coachellas, music festivals that happen across the world. And it's looking at them. When I started, you know, I live in Paramore. And so when EDC first came, it was a complaint, right? You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so I say, you start analyzing and you're saying, well, if we can manage as a city to host this huge 100,000 plus event, attendees a day.
Okay.
Why not look at others?
Yeah. But EDC is definitely one of those things. They, you know, it's a big event.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also talk about the classic. So it's like, these are some of the most major events that have hit the city. Not to mention, you know, Pro Bowl, which, you know, unfortunately wasn't here this year.
We don't have the bandwidth.
You know, we don't have the bandwidth for it. But the city of Orlando has had great events that were, you know, on a magnitude scale. So you talk about EDC now bringing in, you know, Rolling Loud, and then cap that off with, you know, with the classic. Like, how you stepping into this atmosphere or in this leadership role, how can you now maintain what others have complained about to let them know, hey, we good, We just need to tweak a little something and do that.
And the tweaking is the key. So downtown Orlando needs its own identity. Mm. And so we've struggled. How do we, well, yes, Disney and Universal are our major, you know, people come here for theme parks, but we've got to create an atmosphere that internationals come, national people from all across the country, people from all across the world come for a reason. And so I saw it years ago transitioning into a full sports and music city, but how do we get there? And the only way you get there is by bringing world-class events to our city, showing we can host. I mean, when you think about EDC, like that's a world, that's an international activity that happens, right? And so how do we showcase? So we can showcase, one, what other global activities happen that we can showcase, we can host, right? You know, we just had FIFA World Club Cup in 2025. And so we're showing we can host these. Okay, well, what about the culture? And so that's where that's the space I'm in. What are we doing for the culture? What are we missing? How can I create the next opportunity for where we're going and what we're doing here? So Rolling Loud to me was the next big global cultural activity that we could look at bringing.
So how important is it to know that Rolling Loud started here? The creators, the founders, they actually are from Orlando.
So that was the key. How do you bring it back home? And it goes back to what I said. Like, so those are little tidbits. Okay.
Yeah, tidbits.
Like you thought those little sprinkle those little, and that was it for me. What I just said, people, talent here, they have their talent and they end up taking it elsewhere. And so how do I, you know, how can you come back and you say like, this was my place? Think about DJ Khaled.
Oh man.
Right. From right here in Orlando, right? Yeah. And so creating that atmosphere where you come back home, you can enjoy Orlando in multitude of ways, and we continue to grow as a city.
And you speak of those hometown heroes that started right here. Mm-hmm. One of the major DJs that is on this Rolling Loud tour is right from Orlando, you know, DJ 5 Venom. You know, from right here, you know, and so having him back plays, you know, a major role for the people that he grew up in, the people that, you know, he helped inspire. Now he gets a chance to come back home. I like to call them the prodigal sons that left. And now they're coming back home. It's like, oh, my gosh, I'm so grateful to, you know, be back home. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody. Want to thank God and, you know, who's ahead of my life and, you know, the whole speech. Right. So, but being able to do that speaks volumes. Now, I'm going to transition a little bit because I ain't gonna get you off the, you know, you ain't going to get off that easy. Right. So your leadership has spoken behind the scenes. You were this energetic chick that, you know, was always about ideas. And now you're in charge.
I still have ideas. Don't worry.
No, you still got that. But now you got to put them ideas to real life. Mm-hmm. Because now you're in charge of a district that is looking up to you. Hey, what you going to do about this? What you going to do about that? So how has your energetic ideas shaped you to now lead a full district?
I would say picking your battles, knowing you could write it all down. You can't fight every battle. Mm-hmm. I think building a true allyship, and that's what I can say I walked in. I have a really strong relationship with the electives that serve this community, from the federal level to the state level to right over in the county, other commissioners across the region. And so being able to use those relationships to navigate and say, okay, I can't solve everything, but you know what? Housing is your thing. Let me call my housing friend. Let me phone a friend. Let me phone a buddy.
Yes.
And so living in that space, I won't get on certain talking panels. I won't get on certain podcasts. I stay in my lane when it comes to certain things. And then I pick what's the passion that I'm going to just, we're going to ride all the way out. And so for me, you know, fixing downtown has been, I'm going to ride this all the way out, right? I'm going to do what it takes to fix downtown and get downtown into a stable place. The investments, when I think about, you know, I wrote something, and sometimes, you know, you go through memories, and I don't get to address some comments. Some comments I do, others I don't. I do some most comments I acknowledge in some way, whether it's a like or whatever. And somebody made the comment, well, what have you done? Or what are you doing? You know, what are you doing different? And so when I think back to programs that I'm voting on, that once upon a time I was the employee saying, hey, we should do this. So downtown, we have a restaurant and retail program. And so when I was an employee, I was like, hey, we've got to do something different, right? We've got to really bring retail space into downtown. You know, rent is kind of high. We've got to create a program. So I wrote out a program. I left in 2019. And one of my coworkers, he saw the program through into, you know, get into a space of voting and making it a real thing. And right, so it's funny because he came by, stopped by the city a couple months ago. And I was like, look at us. I said, look at us now. Like, he's an economic development director. I was like, you remember that program? We were like young kids, because he was young, dude, about the same age. Remember, we were just young kids, you know, right now, how we make downtown better. Look at these things happening. And so I think that's where I'm in a space of being able to like pick my battles, being able to say, I'm going to advocate for this, I'm going to advocate for that, being able to really look at what were the things I complained about as an employee and how have we evolved them. We've got an energy efficiency program that's mainly for renters. And so when I was an employee, most of our programs are for owners, right? Yeah. So we do home improvements. It's usually the homeowner, the property owner. And I kept saying, well, unfortunately, you know, some of these individuals live where they can afford.
Right.
And when they live where they can afford, they may not have the best landlords. And not having the best landlord sometimes, maybe, well, by law, a landlord is not responsible for AC. And so in some of these places, people have one unit with a 3-bedroom place. That's all they could afford. They can't afford to go buy a window unit. And so we have an energy efficiency program that's geared towards renters, right?
It is. Okay.
And so it's like the little advocacy that I was able to do, seeing them into fruition and still advocating, right? Because some folks, you just don't get it. If you don't live it day to day. And so I say that, I add that, like, I'm the first elected to actually live in Paramore. Like, all of my predecessors, they never physically, they might have, you know, stayed when they were younger or, you know, that was part of what, I actually live here. So when I say, like, I want to fix this, I want to fix the potholes, I want to fix the homelessness, I want to fix the crime. Like, those are things that literally, not figuratively, literally impact my front door. Like, no, my front door, right? I've had homeless encampments on my street. Yeah. I've had shootouts.
Literally.
Like, wait, how many shots just rang off? Wait, where is that? Oh, they go to red and blue lights, right?
Yeah, and it's like, boom, think about it.
The kids just hanging out. So, like, I physically live through it. So I tell folks, like, I'm going to take care of home, not my physical home, but home where I live. And anything I'm able to do there, I can replicate across the rest of the city to solve problems.
That makes sense, because you represent now a rich district. And with the skill sets that you've actually had and still continue to do, like, how has that resonated to where you felt, you know what, I can lead this district? And you kind of always, you know, talked about it just now, that you live it because you stay in it. So a lot of people don't understand. They'd be like, okay, I'm a coach this, I'm a coach that, whatever. But have you ever played the game? Have you ever went through the game? And yes, people can read books all day, but that's not the same as living it.
I'd say it's funny because, like I said, I can look at a lot of these programs and I could say, I said we need to do that. And you watch evolve. One of the things that folks just don't understand is government doesn't move as fast.
Oh, no. Heck no.
Right? And so it's not.
Yeah.
So you've got to state your case. You've got to find the money. And then once you find the money, you've got to prove yourself. And so what seems like we should be able to snap our fingers and be able to do may not necessarily be that way, right? I look at, we have a digital device checkout at our neighborhood centers where you can check out a hotspot and a computer to take home. Well, that started during COVID, right? Well, we started talking about, like, yes, we do.
Oh, man.
And so it started during COVID, and we're talking 6 years later. Well, we unveiled it in 25, but 6 years later, we actually have a program because we thought about the things. We're working on a Wi-Fi program in Paramore so that residents can walk. Basically, the way it's supposed to work is you walk within a certain amount of feet within the community, you should be able to access Wi-Fi to be able to do whatever you need to do, right? Yeah. But it was because of COVID. When COVID happened, the lack of being able to have everybody not having access to the internet and not having access to computers. So government takes a while, and it's still, like I said, it's still, how do we fix the problem? What is that? What is solving problems look like? I would say I'm still probably the district's biggest advocate. No matter what, who you see me standing with, I'm the district's biggest advocate, right?
Right.
And, you know, people may say, well, how can you fight against that person if you're standing right with them? Sometimes you don't have to fight with them.
No, you just stand there. Now, let me ask you this. So I remember I came to Orlando as a young pup.
Okay.
I was 19, wet behind the ears, still, you know, sucking on Similac milk. Okay. So I got here. Church Street was thriving. I'm talking about the Halloween stuff. I'm talking about anything you can come across. They had it, right? Now, 2026. Probably sooner than that. But that's how long I've been living here, since 97, right? Church Street is not Church Street no more. So is there any plans on, like, bringing that thriving energy back to Church Street? Because the only thing you know about Church Street right now, if, like, if you go down Church Street, you go watch the Magic game. That's it. Or you might go to Harry's Buffalo Wings or whatever there's a spot right there on the corner. But that's really it. It's really a ghost town now.
So, that's a...
Come on now.
It's a packed answer, and I'm gonna unpack it.
Okay.
So I have to give Mayor Dyer his credit where credit is due.
Okay.
His focus has been on the rest of the city.
Okay.
Plans that we've had, developers who come and they own property elsewhere. How do we thrive? How do we grow? How do we grow as a city, right? Because there hasn't been an inner core downtown focus. And so when you focus on the rest of the city without a true eye to the prize, which is your downtown, no matter where you are in the world, your downtown is your prize. So there hasn't been a concerted effort on fixing downtown and bringing downtown and reviving downtown, but we are there now. So when you talk about Church Street Plaza, we actually, all of the roads in downtown that are one way right now are all going to two way. So downtown as a whole is revamping.
Okay.
So there is a concerted effort to turn Church Street back into the old school Church Street station. God bless.
Yes.
God rest Bob Snow, because that was his baby, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a concerted effort, like all eyes on fixing it. And I would say it started back when I was still an employee in 2015, when we did the nighttime economy study. What does unfortunately happen sometimes in any government is you do this study, you have this plan, and you put it on a shelf.
Yeah, you talk about it. All right, let's put it up here. They call it the parking lot. We're going to revisit it.
Yep.
Parking lot a little bit. All right.
And so what's happened is, like, okay, when something fails, let's pull the book out. No, you've got to keep that book open, right? If you want something to work, you bring in a consultant and you want it to work, you've got to stick to it. You got to stay on it. You got to be checking the box. If you're not continuously checking boxes that's in that plan, then you're going to continue to fail. And so there is, and I, for everyone listening, because I get the, we are reviving downtown.
Yes.
We are in a space of a concerted, like, so I tell, like, I made a post a couple months ago, like, name a memory from downtown. For me, if we've got memories, I want to make sure all the generations can come and make memories, right?
That's important.
And so we are reviving downtown. There are a couple of key projects and developments that are in the works that will catalyze downtown. Under I-4, we're finally getting to a space where we're going to bring back parking, but we're also going to have a venue space and a meeting space that will host events. As you know, the Magic are building the West Court, which is the development right across the street.
The big patch.
Yep.
Okay.
So that will be hotel, convention center, apartment space, meeting space.
Wow. Okay.
And there's a couple of other larger developments. What will happen that we have been missing, which is when Church Street was when there was a full connection of downtown, right? The east side and the west side connected. You know, I remember coming 15 years ago, coming downtown and parking underneath I-4.
Right
there. Yep. And going to party, going to hang out. And so we are in that space. Yeah. We are finally getting there. You know, administrations have changed. And so anytime any administration changes, there's always takes a little bit to kind of balance. And so we're getting there, but we are in the process of reviving. Again, we're two-waying all of the streets downtown. Church Street, we have a full plan to do a Church Street Plaza. The current empty buildings, we are actively working to fill them, bringing in businesses, and kind of working with the property owners to say, where do we go collectively from here?
So you speak of reviving downtown, right? So a couple of things is when you talk about reviving, a lot of things have changed. A lot of businesses are shutting down because some lawmakers or some ordinance or whatever that has said now you got to pay an extra fee to stay open to serve liquor. And a lot of a lot of these big venues like an Ember have shut down because we can't pay those fees no more. That was you're talking about reviving. That's what needed to be revived.
So we did. Since I've been elected, we've actually just changed that program. We tweaked it a little bit. Mm-mm. So we now have a flat. So here's what was happening. You've got to find a happy medium balance between law enforcement and crowds of people.
Yes.
And so there hasn't been a person who can say, I've come downtown, because I do. Like, I tell people, like, I'll get up, I'll roll over and be like, man, let me see what's going on downtown. I'll get dressed and go right across the street.
And then you get hit with blockage. You get hit with the roadways.
So we don't have that anymore. So I've opened back our Orange Avenue I've been elected.
So you can roll down.
Drive down Orange Avenue with no problems now.
Ooh, child.
So that's the thing. Like, when you sit and you experience it. So I kept saying, like, why? What's the reason? And so I don't live in a, like, just tell me something because you think it sounds good. No, tell me data, statistically, show me where that's happening. So it's been a fight, and I'd say I'm fighting for the right reasons.
Yes. Ooh, yes.
And so there's a lot of, like I said, I eat, sleep, and drink. How do we make things better? Like, physically, no matter where I am in the world. And what reviving downtown looks like, it is the little things. It is the open back up Orange Avenue. So Orange, I can successfully say that Orange Avenue has been reopened for almost a year now, which means, TJ, you need to be downtown, because that means you haven't visited that I opened back up Orange Avenue.
I don't know that, because I don't come down here that often, because I live in Wakanda North.
Okay.
So, you know, Sanford, Florida, y'all, you know, Bokey. But yeah.
So that's a piece of it. So the after midnight sales license. So basically it says if you open up after midnight, ultimately it was supposed to go to the additional law enforcement officers that are downtown. They were back and forth because there wasn't a steady flat fee. So you basically didn't know what you were going to pay week to week.
Mm-hmm.
So we just recently changed that effective this year. There's a flat fee based on the tier. Basically, there are different multitude of tiers based on your occupancy. It'll tell you how many officers. And so it's a flat fee that people are paying. That was not the case.
Right.
And so there was a big transition. I say this, I've also been a small business owner. Is that something different I could say I bring to the table? And so running a nonprofit, which a nonprofit is a business, being a former city employee, I could look at things and say, well, the businesses are struggling. Okay. We need to work on businesses. And how do we make sure that these are businesses? And people have to understand, even though it's a club, even though it's nightlife, mm-hmm. it's a business. There are people who are employed in this culture and in this atmosphere. Yeah,
they got to pay their car note. They got to pay the insurance. They got to pay the rent. Well, then again, working downtown probably ain't going to pay the rent, but it's still put groceries on the table.
So it's one of those things where we're getting there, being able to advocate for me, I think the harder piece is a different type of culture.
Yes.
That's the piece that we've always missed. Like, downtown has got to be a place for all. So if you are a 54-year-old who just left a Magic game, is there somewhere for you to hang out? If you just left the Dr. Phillips Center watching a play, is there somewhere for you to eat, drink, and be merry afterwards? And so creating that opportunity is where we're going as we revive and revamp downtown.
Wow. That's amazing, because I think like your mindset and how you've already been doing it, as I mentioned to you before, is like, if you haven't played the game, if you haven't been experiencing it, how can you really take advantage of saying, oh, this is how we do this and that, but like, hey, you're not living it, you're not doing it? Because I'll address the elephant in the room. You know, I got some, you know, my white constituents who, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. Well, you'll never imagine, because it doesn't happen to you. You know, it's happening to us. And when it comes to being able to, you know, deal with your constituents, how have you been able to identify the difference of letting them know without pissing them off to like, hey, you don't have no idea what you're talking about, but this is what we need to do?
I did that effectively, I think, yesterday, because I didn't get cussed out. So here's the thing. I think people have to realize, if you email someone right now, they may not respond right now. So that happened to me 2 weeks ago. This girl sent the email, and literally, I'm not even... 5 minutes after she sent the email, she goes on Facebook. Man, that girl don't answer. I'm like, she just sent me a message 5 minutes ago. Okay. But what she didn't know was I had already answered her by dealing with her problem. I didn't have to go to her.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a thing where it's like, okay, I'm going to solve problems. I'll get to a space where I don't address every single thing, because it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah.
I just do the work and then let the results. I work for God, right? Mm-hmm. And He is using me as a vessel to help people. I am not going to allow people on this earth to judge me doing God's work, period.
Yeah. And you talk about God's work, and District 5 has been a rich community, and you know, others came before you, and you know, there's a lot of things that's happened out there. So with you actually being in this position now, how have you been able to use your own personal experience to bring to the community, knowing that, hey, y'all chose right? You know, yes, you may have had other commissioners before me, but now you got somebody different and I'm doing things differently. How do you get them on board? Because, you know, you can't please everybody.
Silently. And that's why you don't see a lot of drama. At least I don't bring it. It may be about me, but if I could change TJ's life, I'm going to change TJ's life, because TJ himself going to go tell 10 people.
Yeah.
That's how I got elected. That's how I got reelected. Everything I do doesn't have to be vocal. Everything I do doesn't have to be, look at what I did, see me now. Honestly, I hate to see me now. Like, look at me. Like, I hate those. But if you don't do the, hey, look at me, then people are like, oh, she's not doing anything. And it is such a hard place. A couple months ago, I was incognito, had a hoodie on, was getting my nails done, because I go to a whole nother city to get my nails done.
Wow.
Lady walks up to me and she says, thank you. And I was like, darn, I thought I was hidden. And I caught chills when she said thank you. I didn't know what she was thanking me for. And when she started telling me, I introduced a program with seniors. It's basically a day center for seniors. They pick seniors up. They keep them all day, Monday through Friday, and then they drop them back home. And she said thank you because her mom had dementia, and they were struggling as a family on what to do with mom during the daytime. The service that I put out there, her mom was able to use, and the family was able to get a break during the daytime while she was at the center. So they could rest easy knowing that she was with, you know, she had nursing care, care all day. She ultimately, the dementia was really bad, and so she ended up passing away. But she said, I didn't know that little piece of service that I posted on the internet said, this is what I have to offer, helped her. So I can imagine people that she talked to and she told, right? I just continue to do the work and let the work speak for itself. When people come and they're getting their solutions, they're getting their problems solved, I let the work speak for itself. I allow you know, let, you know, and in the work of words of Mama Mabel, let the work I've done speak for me.
That's it. Because now you're in a position of power. Okay. Whereas before, you know, you were a young pup at the desk coming in with great ideas and they tell you to sit your ass down somewhere. But now you are in a power of, you know, a position of power. And you're not a fan favorite of some. You are a fan favorite of most. So here's where the sticky situation come in at. Mm-hmm. You now being the commissioner, having to replace another commissioner, and they had fans of the old commissioner. And now how have you been able to handle the fans of the old commissioner to get on board with you? When, you know, like you said, I have a lot of, you know, I look at online stuff and I don't really say nothing. I just let do what it do and, you know, chill, whatever. But you see it, you know, it sometimes as a human, it's going to affect me. Like, come on, man, that's not even me. But you want to respond, but you don't respond. So, like, how have you been able to handle that? And like, what are you going to do to kind of win over the fans of the old commissioner to join the crusade of like, listen, I'm not old commissioner. I'm doing things differently. How do you get them on board with you? And do you think they'll ever get on board with you?
You just answered your own question.
I sure enough did.
Because it's apparent that the people spoke and they wanted something new. It's apparent that my leadership was what people wanted. They gave me 18 months. They gave me 18 month trial. Mm-hmm, yeah. And in that 18 month trial period, I got reelected and the numbers were higher than they've ever been in this district. Yeah. The people spoke. You can never change a person's fan base. And, you know, I posted it the other day. You can't even get in the club, right? So if you're on the outside and you judging, you just going to watch everybody else thrive and everybody else doing something good. Why are you sitting on the outside watching?
Yeah, you can't even get in the club.
Right? Mm. So I think that's I'm in that space where I'm not proven. I don't have anything to prove to anyone. Let me just start there.
I like that.
I don't have anything. Mm. Everything I do is genuine. Nothing that I do benefits my pockets. And that is physically, like nothing at all. My income doesn't come at all from getting up every day and serving this district. So I said that to say, like, I'm not here to prove a point to anyone. I'm here to do the Lord's work. I'm here to help other people's dreams come to reality. I'm here to say, how can I help you? I'm here to, you know, when we talk about the transition of the district, I don't serve just one part of the district from downtown to Metro West. And I serve it intentionally. I live in Paramore. So people are so used to, you know, the average person doesn't know that District 5 is more than Paramore. They just don't even know that.
But that's the narrative that's been painted, like District 5 is downtown Orlando and it's Paramore and it's like round the cone up here and da 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 da. But it's like, no, it does stretch as far. And you have this big gap, like, okay, yes, downtown Orlando, District 5 does not look like Metro West area. Mm-hmm. It don't look like it. So, like, how do you get those folks to understand, like, you know, hey, what's happening over here is not happening over here. How do you bridge that gap to where it all looks the same, even though you can't control it? But how do you get that gap bridge to know, like, hey, what's happening over here? I can do it over here, too.
I meet everyone's needs. And so safety is the top priority. Mm-hmm. And so when people think safety, they think law enforcement. No. Safety is safety. Does everyone have sidewalks? Does everyone have the street lights work properly? Do the stoplights work properly? Are your roads paved? So safety stays at the top of everything I do. I'm intentional in saying, you know, we've got the entire nation is in something called Vision Zero, which is how do we get to zero fatalities and zero crashes? So creating different opportunities and looking at how different roads work. I spend the same amount of time on Kirkman because Kirkman is the entire Kirkman from Owen and Garden all the way to Conroy is all in District 5. Mm-hmm. How do I create a safe Kirkman? How do I understand that people are walking? Everybody doesn't drive. How do I make sure that the Valencia kids who may live in apartments right across the street from the main Valencia campus, they could cross the street safely? So looking at the whole entire district as a whole and not just one community versus another community, because every community, no matter how rich or how poor, all have issues, right?
Yeah.
But everyone's issues look different. One community may be, hey, I need more senior program. Another community may be, I need more youth program. Another community may say, hey, the police officers don't come by often enough. But how do I address them all? And what I'm intentional on is serving everybody equally.
Man, look, Commissioner, you've actually, from the time that I've known you, you've always been energetic. You've always done this. You've always done that. And now, because I remember when the 18-month trial period, I was the moderator of a town hall in the heart of District 5 when there's a lot of, candidates that was trying to run. And, I had the privilege of, moderating, and you were there. And a lot of the feedback that I got was, yeah, I think Shan, she gives the best, our best option. You know, nothing against, the other candidates that were there. But and then when that runoff came, you won. It's like, all right, here go your 18 months. Do what you do. 18 months came. Hey, now we're going to put you on the ballot so we can go ahead and hold you for another, for 4 years. Can you win?
Mm-hmm.
And like the great President Barack Obama, yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
And she's here. So there's a lot of events that you're doing now. You know, we already talked about, Rolling Loud that's coming here. Now, what about like the little small events that, maybe I can't afford to go to Rolling Loud, or I can't afford to go to these big events, but what about the folks that I just want to, I just want to be intimate with? You got something, what you got going on for Valentine's Day or Valentine's weekend?
I don't know it's always something going on. Activity.
You always got some activity going on.
I do. So, like we're doing a big art show. So I'm mm-hmm. big in arts and culture. Yep. So there's a big free community art show. I think it's finding this, I'm in a space, how do I bring activities here that people can experience them and then say, okay, I see why I need to pay for this next time, right?
Okay.
Because that's what you, that's how a lot of activities start. They start off like free and then you say, okay, let's grow it.
Yes.
And so there's a lot happening. Yeah. I say this. Y'all go and follow me on social media and
I
click
love the
link.
Look, I love the plug.
Shan Rose, Shanrose.
Okay.
I have a link tree on all of my pages. Okay. And the link tree has all of the activities because we'd be here all day if I really start listing out what I'm doing in the coming weeks, right? In the coming days, right? I've got like 5 things today to go through.
You got the Harry Potter thing.
There's a whole bunch. Some of it is I'm still the young person that's on social media, and I'll see some of these events and be like, this is so cool. How do I make this happen? So there's a lot happening. Again, Linktree is going to be the best option.
Wow. So tell your friends, tell your aunties, your uncles, your little pookies and whatnot that they need to tune in. They need to tune in each and every week because, we're going to have more individuals like yourself to come sit on the black couch and just have a conversation, because a lot of people just want to be able to understand what's happening in life, what's happening with this person here, because you don't hear a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. You just hear about what they're doing. So one thing I want to do right now to close the show out is always have like a positive message for folks, because everybody's so driven to negativity. So for our listeners at home right now, what's a positive motivational message that you can give, to the folks back at home that's listening?
Stick to the assignment. Let God lead your way.
That's it. Hey, listen, I appreciate y'all tuning in to the Black Couch Chronicles podcast. And Shan Rose, I really appreciate you joining in, being the first youngest commissioner, District 5, to sit on the couch. And we definitely appreciate you. And I'll be talking to you soon. And folks at home, remember to keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.